It's a real privilege for me to get a chance to visit with a man I respect as much as this one. Former United States Senator for the great state of North Dakota, Senator Kent Conrad. Good to have you on News and Views. Thank you, sir.
Always good to be with you, Joel.
You know, the reason I called you, obviously, is because it's a terrible anniversary on Saturday of 9/11. It's one that none of us want to have even had be an anniversary in our life, but it's here. And it's something that we all, it's part of us now. And so you were there. You were living it. It was right in your backyard. Give me your thoughts when you think about 9/11.
Well, it was, I think, the most extraordinary day of my life. I started that morning very early giving a speech to a group of educators from around the country just south of the Pentagon. And so I'd finished my remarks and was headed back to the Capitol for a meeting in the leader's office. And when I got there, very soon after I arrived, security people rushed into the room where there was a meeting of committee chairmen going on, setting the schedule for the day. And the security people came in and said we were to evacuate immediately, that there was a threat to the Capitol and that the Pentagon had been hit. And simultaneously, there aired on television pictures of the Pentagon and smoke coming from the Pentagon, which I'd driven past maybe, you know, less than a half hour before. And so I left the Capitol. You know, it was a tumultuous scene. I mean, some people were panicking. It was a remarkable experience. And I walked back to my offices in the Senate office building with others who were leaving the Capitol. And I'd had an interview scheduled with Ed Schultz. You remember Ed.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an interview scheduled in my office. And I went up to my office, and there was an announcement that came through, again through security, that we were to leave our offices. And I didn't think I should leave. I thought that was, you know, maybe mistakenly, but I thought that was giving in to whatever this was about. And I was doing the interview with Ed Schultz when we saw television reports of the Twin Towers being hit in New York. And then a security man came into where we were doing the interview and told me I had to leave, that there was a threat to the Capitol complex, and that there was a plane, they said, 10 to 15 minutes out, that they believed was going to target the Capitol complex. So we then left my offices. My staff had already left because of the earlier warning. And I went to the police station across the street where a number of members met for briefings. And I must say, there was just a tremendous unknown. Nobody knew what was happening. We knew we were under attack. We didn't know who was launching the attack. We didn't know what was to follow. So there was this air of, you know, total unknown. Who was attacking us? Why were they attacking us? What was to come? And throughout the day, we got reports. It was surrealistic because it was an absolutely beautiful day. Bright blue sky, low humidity, warm, a beautiful day, and this tragedy emerging, the attack on New York, the attack on the Pentagon, and we only learned later, of course, that the flight went down in Pennsylvania that was going to attack either the Capitol complex or the White House. No one was quite sure which one, but that was only known later. So as the day wore on, we learned more because President Bush, of course, addressed the nation. The Senate, Congress met that evening. And one of my strongest memories is going out on the steps of the Capitol, members of the House and the Senate, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and singing God Bless America. And it was, I tell you, it was a very moving moment. I thought it was the time of greatest unity that I had experienced before or since in Washington, a sense that we were under attack, that we had to fight back, that we were in this together, that was absolutely imperative that we stick together and that we get these people, that we find out who did it and that we get them. That was an overwhelming feeling that I had, and I know that other members had. So those are some of my memories of that incredible day.
So having access to the information that you had access to, once all of this had reached a point where you now could go about doing your job and finding out more, how long did it take for you to get the information of who was attacking us?
Well, there were suspicions as the day wore on who the attackers were. There were, because of what became known of how the flights were taken over and descriptions of these people who had hijacked these planes, that it became very clear, at least they had a very good sense of who was behind this. And I don't know at what point I knew with great confidence it was Al-Qaeda, but, you know, I was pretty confident by that evening who was behind these attacks.
So as it all played out, and you talked about unity, and I remember that. That's one of the things I remember, you know, post-attack the most is how unified both sides of the aisle and the nation, rural, urban, all of that. You know, we were Americans first and foremost, and we were going to do what we needed to do to beat this back. What was the reaction from the people in your life, that the staff that you had put together to serve the people of North Dakota, the people, you know, your wife, your daughter, others? I mean, what was their reaction to all of this?
Well, I would say that my staff, my family were just fantastic. I mean, Lucy had been scheduled to fly that morning. You know, she worked for Major League Baseball, you'll recall, and she was headed, she was at the airport, and she was getting ready to board a flight. And, of course, all the flights were grounded. You'll remember all the planes that were flying across the country were brought down under order of the president. In fact, the vice president told the armed forces that if any plane disobeyed the order, that they had the authority to shoot it down if it approached the national capital area. So the reaction of my staff was, you know, I was so proud of them. They were so incredibly good and strong and brave, and they knew this was a moment that would transform their lives, that this had the potential to be, well, no one knew quite what. No one knew what was to come. No one knew if there were follow-on attacks planned. There were rumors that that a nuclear device was planted in New York and that there was a frantic search for it. My daughter was in New York. But I would say, without any exception, my family and staff were very brave, very strong, and very confident that whatever this was, we would take it on and defeat it. So those were, you know, strangely enough, even though the horrible, horrible tragedy, I can remember the vision. I still have the visions of the people jumping out of the Twin Towers because of the intensity of the flames and how horrific it all was.
Yeah.
And I just remember I was so angry. I just had a sort of a quiet fury. I wanted to get those people, and I wanted us to be able to, I just remember that I had such a dominant feeling of wanting to get the people who are responsible for this.
When we come back, one of the questions I have for the senator is what it's like to be in a room of 100 people. 100 people all across the country that are going to make decisions on how to deal with it. So stick around. More coming with former United States Senator Kent Conrad. Welcome back to News and Views. Senator Conrad stayed with us. Senator, I have to ask you, because you mentioned you were angry. Well, the nation was angry. You know that. We all were angry. But you're one of the people that is in that room. You're one of the people that was in that room, one of 100 people that was about to make decisions on how to deal with this. How did you weigh all of that? Because some of this nation's reaction, looking back, we might have done things differently, but we did do them because we were ticked off, in my opinion. We were upset. We had been punched in the nose. And so how do you go about making sure this country does what it needs to do when all of those thoughts are going through your head?
Well, that's an interesting question. The thing that struck me is how much we were in agreement. You know, across the political spectrum, between the parties, there was virtually no difference with respect to how we should respond. You know, we immediately beefed up military spending. We immediately authorized all agencies of the federal government to find out who specifically was behind it, not just the organization, but the individuals, and to take them out. And there was no disagreement whatsoever about taking those steps. Of course, very quickly, the Department of Homeland Security was formed. It's one thing I'm not sure was quite the right step. I wasn't sure at the time that it was the right step, because we created an agency that took a whole series of agencies and put them all together in one department. And I really questioned whether that would be more efficient than having smaller agencies separate. And I'm still not sure that was the right thing to have done. But we all agreed to do it because we thought a unified approach was absolutely critical in that moment. So one thing that struck me is how level-headed people were, how calm people were. You know, among members, I didn't sense fear or panic at all. I sensed an enormous resolve and an absolute determination to get the people who are responsible for this and to get them as quickly as we could. That was the overwhelming feeling in that chamber. And it started that night.
Yeah, I don't doubt it one bit. I guess I look at what's going on right now in the nation, Senator Conrad, and I look at what's happening with our withdrawal from Afghanistan and the debates that this nation is having over the roles. And I think at times people forget what was the results from 9/11, that I don't believe we ever were in Afghanistan if it wasn't for 9/11. And we would never have been in Iraq had it not been for 9/11. And I think you were one United States senator that had the courage to talk about those things at the time and vote a certain way that might have been not in the majority, including even Democrats at the time. And those are hard things to do after you've just been punched in the nose and after people's lives have been lost. And so, you know, that's why it's been it when I think of 9/11 and I think of our nation's response, oftentimes I think of you. I do. And we've been friends a long time. I'm not saying that to blow smoke here. I'm saying that because I know what you were doing at the time, trying to bring a lot of reasonable thought into this nation's response. And that couldn't have always made you popular on Capitol Hill.
Well, you know, Joel, you may recall I graduated from an American Air Force base in Tripoli, Libya, North Africa. Friends of our family, he was in the oil business. He was the vice president of Mobil Oil Libya when that was the hot spot in the world. Invited me to come and live with them, and I graduated from Air Force Base High School there, and a relative of mine was the CIA station chief. So I had a very interesting growing up in that part of the world, and I think I had a pretty good understanding of what we were up against, the cultural clash, the cultural divide. I believed absolutely that we had to go to Afghanistan. I believed absolutely that we had to get Osama bin Laden. In fact, I got an amendment passed to dedicate $500 million to getting Osama bin Laden and to make it the highest national security priority of the country's agencies and military. So I felt very strongly about that. I felt also strongly we should never have gone to Iraq. I thought that had nothing to do with 9/11. That was 9/11 was Osama bin Laden out of Afghanistan. It was not Saddam Hussein out of Iraq. And somehow I think our country got confused about exactly who was responsible. And even though Saddam Hussein was a dreadful, awful dictator, and his sons were perhaps even worse, they weren't the cause of 9/11. The cause of 9/11 was Osama bin Laden, and they operated out of Afghanistan, not out of Iraq. So I thought we made some very, very serious mistakes, but the basic underlying intention to get Osama bin Laden, we ultimately accomplished, and we severely took down al-Qaeda, not just in Afghanistan, but other places. You know, they were operating all around the world, and including the United States. So while we did, I've always thought we made some mistakes, we also did a lot of things right as a nation.
Last question, I promise. I want you to tell and speak to people like my 10-year-old granddaughter, Tenley, who knows nothing about 9/11 other than what she's taught in a classroom. You're one of the people that would have represented her at that time. If you could speak to her about what 9/11 did to this country and how it affects what she does on a daily basis and what she needs to do, I'd love it. I'd love to be able to play this someday when she's old enough to understand it, and maybe even play it to her right now.
Well, there are so many things that are part of that answer, aren't there? You know, you think about how our lives have changed. You think about the security apparatus when you do a simple thing like go to the airport, you know, and you go through all the security procedures, which we didn't used to have to do at all. You think of the extraordinary resources that our country has devoted to defending ourselves against terrorist attack. And you think about the incredible divide that exists in this world between East and West. And this cultural divide has been the source of conflict for millennia. You know, this is how we got World War I, this cultural divide. And it is the source of conflict right through to today. And it's critically important that we understand the differences in outlook and values that lead to these conflicts, and that we try to find a way over time to reduce these conflicts so that we don't have to live in fear. And we don't have to live with the horrendous reality of an attack like 9/11, when thousands of Americans lost their lives in the most brutal and vicious way. So these are things that we need to study and understand, and we need to educate ourselves and educate others in the world as to how we can reduce conflict. Otherwise, we're going to have to live with the consequences forever.
Senator, thank you. Thanks for sharing your memories. And, you know, I know the people listening really appreciate it. So thanks for the service you gave North Dakota and for a conversation none of us wish we would have had to have, but it's history. And it's something we have to recognize on this anniversary. So appreciate it, Senator Conrad.
You bet. And something we should never forget.